Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By the Always Design Conference call for the first day of December, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is financial war. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Alleluia, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shema, and welcome to the program. Cymru am beth. Callers will be welcome later on in the broadcast, and we do remind you to be courteous to other people on the call and also be careful of your language. And we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody calling in is automatically muted until such time as you indicate you wish to speak. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, pastordan.net. We do remind you the Daily Mail page is where we put up-to-date, permanent, pertinent information about what's going on. We also have made some additions to the home page, especially for folks that wish to help us out financially. And we have a Contact Us page if you wish to send a bit of information or if you have a question for me and wish me to answer it. Again, that's at the Contact Us page. And to my relatives and cousins and brothers and sisters in Yahweh and foreign lands, we'll go start off with our French folks. Ame pour en français, bienvenue à la parole. For the folks in Spanish-speaking countries, amis pierientes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. And in the German-speaking lands, zumeinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim Anruf. Basically welcoming to the call our cousins and kinfolk in other lands. And again, I didn't get a chance to send out a notice. Things were running behind schedule today, so I do apologize for that. And glad to see we've got a few folks in the room today. Ralph says his old 30-30 worked again. He got a deer up there in Canada. Very good, and I don't know if it's the old Marlin 30-30 you're using or the Winchester, but my father gave me his Marlin 30-30 when he passed. I should say I inherited it when he passed, and it's a very, very good rifle, lever action. 30 caliber, it's a good round. Been around for a very long time. And one thing about the lever action rifles like that that's very, very nice to have is because you can leave them loaded and it does not put pressure on the firing pin like many modern weapons because it has a hammer and spring arrangement similar to a revolver. So a lever-action rifle, you can actually put your thumb over the hammer and release the tension on the trigger and the firing pin and let the hammer go forward so you can leave the rifle loaded and ready to go and then just cock the hammer back when if somebody was ever to come on your property or if you were hunting and you see game, which is a nice feature. A lot of people don't think about stuff like that, but, you know, for folks like myself that have been a reloader and been out on the farm for a very long time, that old lever action with the hammer was a very nice feature to have. So again, Marlin 30-30, Winchester 30-30, I believe the Henry rifle makes a 30-30 version as well. For the folks that aren't familiar with that, 30-30 is a reference to a cartridge. I believe Winchester designed it. But it's a 30-30 cartridge will only fit in rifles that are chambered for a 30-30 caliber ammunition. So again, very good one. Congratulations, Ralph. I just wanted to jump on tonight for a quickie. because of a lot of the information I'm seeing coming across the airwaves here lately shows that there is indeed an awakening going on. And once again, I want to thank all of the listeners and supporters for this broadcast, because our topics, let's say, that we cover on this show, they're reaching out there. I'm hearing more and more and more people refer to things that we've referred to and use some of the verbiage that we've used here that's pretty unique to this audience. Some people have pointed out that, like, calling somebody as dumb as a box of rocks, that we don't have a patent on that, obviously. We can't claim to be the originators of that phrase. However, we're one of the few platforms that I know of that use it frequently, and now it's showing up on many platforms. Also, we were one of the first groups to tell the people to follow the money trail. It'll lead you to the criminals every time. And now you're hearing that being spoken about on many platforms all over the place. So kudos to you folks for supporting us and for being here with us day in and day out, week in, week out, as we do our best to alert mankind, actually, to the nefarious goings-on out there. But one of the ways the beast is making war with mankind, obviously, is in the area of money, currency, finance. And a good way to point that out is if you look at who's doing all the buying up of our properties and our businesses right now, and every one of these bad actors is tied in very tightly with the Jewish financial sector. And that, again, doesn't take much research to figure that out. But three corporations are at the top of the pyramid that's doing a lot of the nefarious things in the world, and that's BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. Okay, if you just Google those three together, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, you'll find all kind of articles tying them into many of the bad actors and bad corporations and bad institutions that are doing a lot of the railroading of mankind into this new world order and this mark of the beast period that we're entering, because they're going full tilt. This is the end of the age. They put all their chips on the table, and so they have to make good on this one clear to the end, no matter how much trouble they get in, no matter how many people wake up. It really doesn't matter, because this is it for them. They either win or they are destroyed, just like the scripture says. There's only two outcomes going to come out of this. The righteous are going to prevail, and the wicked are going to get burned up like the weeds that they are. Or they win, and you and I are either annihilated or enslaved from here on out. So I choose that they die for their cause rather than our people dying for our cause. That's my choice. And so we work to that end. But they have declared financial war on us. Here in America, these corporations and their lapdog corporations, their fronts, they are in the process of buying up our land, our homes, our businesses, virtually everything out there, ranches, everything. The reason for that is pretty obvious. If you're not going to play ball with them, then you're not going to be able to have a job, own land to grow food, or have water on it to feed your families, etc. That's their plan. Not saying their plan will succeed, but that is their plan. You can see it clear as a bell. All right? So we need to be aware of that. We need to get as many people to wake up, and there are many urgent calls going out there across the world for mankind to stop going along with this New World Order demonic program that's going on right now. Stop it. We've been making excuses and backing up from the fight for a very long time, and now it's come down to the point where you can't back up anymore. Okay, you just can't. There's no room left. Your back is against the wall, as they say. So you either acquiesce and allow the enemy to walk all over you and your family and give up, or you start thinking like a warrior, and you figure out the ways that you can fight. Not everybody out there is fit to go into the battlefield with uniform on and all the gear and a battle rifle and a bayonet and all that. Some of us are a little bit beyond that stage, you know. But each and every one of us has a weapon that we can use in this fight. The truth is a weapon. Our voices are a weapon. Our ability to write, whether it's at a keyboard or by hand, that's a weapon. To make signs is a weapon. To attend meetings or town councils or school boards meetings, those are also weapons. To stand up to your local dentist or doctor, eye doctor, whoever, that is a weapon. Talking to your neighbors and presenting them with logical explanations for what's going on, that is a weapon. Obviously, bringing them the good news of our Messiah and this message of who we are and biblically where we're at, that is a weapon. Okay? Every single Israelite that you wake up is one more cartridge in our weapon. One more round that we can fire at this enemy. And there is a finite point when the bullets will amount to the number that are needed to take this beast down. That's our destiny, is to take this beast down. And praise Yahweh for that. I'm tired of watching what's going on and what they're doing to our people. It's just amazing. Ralph says here it's a Marlin 3030. Very good. It's the same thing that, like I said, my father provided deer for us when I was a boy growing up. We ate a lot of venison, and it was the old Marlin 3030 that he used to bring the deer down. A lot of people say, well, isn't that cruel? Well, folks, that's the state of the world that Yahweh made here, okay? All life on earth requires something to die in order for us to live. And people say, well, no, I'm a vegetarian, so the plants committed suicide? The plants jumped into your salad bowl on their own and voluntarily gave up their life? Because plants are a living thing. Or didn't you know that? If you didn't pluck up that lettuce or that romaine or those carrots and tomatoes and put them in there, they would have gone on their life cycle, would they not? And the same thing with the animal kingdom, okay? Unfortunately, that's the way this world has been set up. The day's coming, I believe, when Yahweh will release the technology or whatever you want to call it that allows us to live and provide the energy for living without the death of animals or plants. That day is coming, but it's not here yet. And again, we don't live on this earth as our final home because we are spiritual beings living in a human, having a human experience. And by the way, we've talked about that phrase on this program for quite some time. And I just heard it used tonight by a lady from Ireland talking about the financial war that's being waged against us. So we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We came from above, and we will return to above when we leave here. But while we're here, we're being watched, we're being graded on how we perform. What are your priorities? What are you doing to stem the tide of this evil that's prevailing across this world? We're all in that boat. And we should be in that boat. My children, when they were little, I watched over them. I loved them. I cared for them. I provided for them. But I also watched over them to see, do they obey me? Do they listen to the rules of the house? when they interact with the neighbors and things like that? Are they presenting themselves in a proper way? Are they respectful of the neighbors and their neighbor's property? You see? So our Father in Heaven created us and put us down here. You don't think it's logical that he watches what we do on this earth, how we do it, why we do it? And we're coming to the end of this earth age. It's time for the big roundup. So, again, we talked about the fact that your life on this earth is God's gift to you. And what you do with it is your gift back to the Father. That's the way it works. And hopefully people will remember that. I sent out an email with a link to a Melissa Siumi, I cannot pronounce this, it's Siumi, C-I-U-M-M-E-I, it's Irish. I'm probably butchering the Irish pronunciation of that. As close as I could get it is Siumi, Melissa Siumi, whatever. She's a financial expert, I guess you'd call it, over in Ireland. But she was given a very good BitChute interview with another lady talking about why is the New World Order, which is the Zionist communist banking cabal, why do they want the children? Why do they push what they're pushing? Obviously, there is no pandemic. I mean, that's just so obvious. You have to be dumber than a box of rocks not to see that. So obviously it's not health and it's not a pandemic that we're looking at. So why are they pushing this? Because they need to get us all tagged. And instead of the Internet of Things, as she talks about it, it will be the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of People. And we will be tracked, much like your car is tracked now and you can monitor everything in your home, these so-called smart homes. Well, this whole smart idea is going to play over into tagging and tracking and constantly monitoring you as well. And they want a digitized, completely government-run monetary system. Now, it's a fake one. It's a Babylonian fiat system. And again, Yahweh's system is what? Either bartering with neighbors or using gold and silver, precious metals that hold their value indefinitely. So they are legitimate money, whereas the fiat currency provides almost the exact same thing as money, except that it does not hold value, which is what every fiat currency does. It is floating, it is manipulated, and typically you lose value. And so therefore it's not real money, it is a fiat currency because it doesn't hold value, whereas gold and silver and precious metals will hold value. Way back when I first got woke up, there was an economist came to a Patriot meeting that we had in the community clubhouse or the community center where I was living. And he gave a very, very commonsensical analysis of money, the economy, and how the banking system was enslaving mankind. And he was the one that presented it to us there that day, and he held up a $20 gold piece. Now, he said this minted gold piece was from like the 1930s or 40s. He said when this thing was minted, a $20 gold piece would buy you the best suit of clothes in town. $20 would buy you the best suit, pants, shirt, tie, socks, shoes, the whole kit and caboodle. Okay, for $20. Well, $20 in fiat currency today won't even get you the shoes. It can barely get you the socks for that ensemble. Whereas if you had that $20 gold piece, you could still go get a very nice suit and the whole ensemble and have some money left over. So that was his point. The ounce or so of gold maintained its buying power through the decades, whereas fiat currency, which is what U.S. dollars are, and all fiat currencies are guilty of this, it would take you hundreds and hundreds of, quote, dollars to try to get that same suit, whereas that little gold piece would still be able to get it. You see the difference? And so through the manipulation of, quote, currency, the banking cartel and their masters are buying up everything right now. They're using digitized shekels, these Jewish international financiers, this cabal, are using digital currency, meaning it's backed by absolutely nothing. Digits in a computer, they're buying up land, water, homes, factories, trucking companies, shipping companies, over and over. And the middle class is being wiped out, which is a typical communist maneuver. And they're doing it, and they got our people doing it for digital shekels. They're not even real pieces of silver anymore. It'd be like Judas selling out Messiah for some digital currency in his laptop. If they had them back then, obviously they did not. But do you see the point? He sold out Messiah, which ended up costing his life, for just electronic blips on a computer. We're doing the same thing today, selling out our country, selling out our families, selling our businesses, our ranches, etc., to these big conglomerates because they're giving you a bunch of money for it, way more than it's worth, because they know the digital is going to go bye-bye very soon. So all you people that sold out, all of you sitting there rubbing your hands together because your stocks are going up or because somebody just paid 50% more for your house than it's worth. Well, enjoy your moment, because these creatures from hell are using the digital fake currency to buy up real value, land, businesses, homes, etc., things that are tangible and have value. They're buying them up as fast as they can because we're stupid enough to sell it to them. Because in our brains, what's left of them, we think we made a big score. You don't understand that Jaime is laughing at the synagogue because all you're holding are electronic shekels that he's about ready to pull the plug on. Let that sink through your heads. That's the financial war that's going on right now. And the only way to stop that is for people to make up their mind that they're not backing up anymore. I'm not selling anything to these Jewish corporations, this cabal, for their electronic shekels that will be absolutely worthless very soon. And who's going to have things of real value? The Israelites, the believers, those with faith upon the earth who held on to their tangible assets, whether it's a ranch, a farm, it's a tractor, it's a car, it's a home, something of value that you possess and control and you can barter with or you can sell once this restoration process begins. You see, Klaus Schwab, the pervert Jew that he is talking about a, quote, great reset because he's a moron, and that's what his masters told him to talk about. He's not doing anything because he's an idiot. Most of the faces that do the talking are complete idiots, like Mark Zuckerberg. Does anybody really think that moron ever invented or did anything? Please. Same thing with Jack Dorsey and the rest. Do you actually think these automatons, these morons like Barack Obama and the rest of them, do you actually think they actually do something? They don't have the brains to do anything. They're simply actors. They're given a script, they're told what to say, they're told what to do, and they're the face that you put to whatever's going on. Okay? They are idiots. They're useful idiots being used by the higher level Zionist pigs who pull their strings, and they will be sacrificed to you. When you finally wake up and realize what's happened to your money, your homes, your farms, and your families, what these monsters have done, they're the faces that you're going to be angry at. While the ones pulling the strings that really have the power, have the real economic force, are hiding in the shadows, like the Pacers and the other families. Okay? Plenty of people put it out there in PDF form, these ties of all these rich families through their holding corporations, etc., again, like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street, how they own and manipulate everything while they hide in the shadows and let talking heads like the moron Zuckerberg take the heat. All right, just like our Congress critters. Does anybody think they actually do anything in Washington? They're too stupid. They don't write any legislation. That's given to them by their Jewish masters. They don't read it because they're too slow to read, and they're not smart enough to know what it says anyway. And so they just go through the motions, and you believe you actually have legislators in Washington doing something constructive. You don't, folks. And I don't care if it's on the Republican side, the Democrat side, or the Independent side. They are useless. As my father would say back on the farm, they're as useless as tits on a boar. Okay? A male pig. Okay? Meaning useless. They're there to put on a show to make you think that there's some sort of representative government working for you and watching over the criminal activities of the cabal and the mafia, etc. No, they're not. They're all in bed together. In the criminal justice system, come on, it's all a show. Please stop giving credibility to these antics that are being performed for us. It's just a show, people. We're at the end of the age. It's not complicated. It's as plain as the nose on your face what's going on today. It's really not complicated. It's just a simple matter of what will you tolerate? What are you personally going to do when the time of testing comes? And this jab with this poison is only a part of the equation. It's only a part of it. So again, does mankind have to fall to this cabal? No. We have a choice. If mankind sticks together and resists, the devil flees. Again, I'll talk about when I went into Walmart when this thing first started in early 2020. In April, I went into the local Walmart and they tried to corral me. And I did what Yeshua said to do. I just stood there and I said, no, I don't have to put a mask on. And no, you don't have a right to deny me service. And after a 5 to 10 minute delay and 5 or 6 employees and the manager and assistant manager all standing around me trying to belittle me. I told them, unless you want to get sued under the ADA or HIPAA laws, either one, I said, you need to call your legal department. And the manager actually got his phone out and called his bosses or his legal department, whoever. And after a short conversation, he just said, have a good day. The same exact thing happened when I went to BJ's. They tried to deny me service. I said, get your manager. In this case, it was a woman manager. She came over, and I told her the exact same thing I told the people at Walmart. She called her legal department, and after a less than two-minute conversation, have a good day, sir. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says, when the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. They didn't have a leg to stand on. So arm yourself with the truth and arm yourself with your determination that you're not going to give in. No matter what the cost is, let alone a little inconvenience. Did I enjoy that? No. To be quite frank, I did not enjoy it. I don't like confrontation. I like to be left alone. But if you're going to try to get me to do something that will harm my body, that I know you have no legal authority to do, then you've asked for me to get involved. I would have preferred just to walk in the store and got what I wanted and left. That would have been what I preferred. But being surrounded by a manager, assistant manager, and four or five other employees, they left me no choice. And praise Yahweh, he gave me the strength to stand my ground and enough intelligence to know what to say and have a little representative card that had the ADA and HIPAA information on it. And there was victory. And this happened at some other establishments for me, but the two biggest ones were Walmart and BJ's. And the interesting thing was that less than a month after my episode at Walmart, there was a news flash that Walmart was going to start putting concierges out front to assist people to have a better shopping experience if they were exempt. How about that? I'm not saying I did it, but it was interesting that it was less than a month later. All of a sudden, Walmart's policy changed. Could have been that act of defiance. I have no idea to know, and I don't really care. The point of it is, if enough of us resist, it says in the good book, when the righteous stand firm, that's you, me, and everybody else that knows Messiah. When the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. Because everything they do is based on a lie. Everything they do. I got a note here from Ella, says, it was said by one doctor that those wearing masks all day will be dead in 10 years, vaccine or no vaccine. Well, the masks are harmful. So even if you're not going to put the poison in your body, if you're complying and putting that damn cloth mask on and wearing it, you're still doing damage to your body's immune system and your health. So again, compliance with the beast is not going to work out well for you. So we must resist and we cannot comply. The world's governments are all now kakistocracies, which is a word describing government by the worst elements of your society. It comes from two Greek words, kakos, which is bad, or bad people. Bad. It's like kaka. You ever, when I was a kid, you used to go, oh, that's kaka. Well, it sort of comes from the Greek language for something nasty or bad. And Democracy, as in kakistocracy, is governance or rule. So kakistocracy is a description of our governments, all of them today, and all of our kakistocracies are run by psychopaths. You could also say sociopaths. They're basically synonymous. For the lay people like us, it's synonymous. Meaning they have no empathy for mankind, they have no heart, no soul, no compassion. They're just automatons walking around in bags of bones and flesh with no soul, no conscience. That's how they can do the terrible things that they do. So, again, we have a situation where our financial institutions are the weapons that are being used against us. There's a saying that I have that I put in some of my emails one out, that go out, and it's, it basically says that he who controls the money of a country controls the country, which is also similar to what Baron de Rothschild said back in the 18th century when he said about taking over the world banking system. I don't care who you elect as your rulers or governors or whoever, as long as I control the currency and the issuance of credit, I control the country. And he's right. And that's how the Jews have come to world dominance. And with that, their perversions are being pushed on us in every facet of society, again, through the control of money, or what is perceived as money, the currency. Okay? Real money went out in the 1970s with Tricky Dick, and I remember that because I had just come out of high school and was getting ready to go into the military. So he took us off the gold standard. I think he took us off the silver standard. I think we were already off the gold standard. So the last precious metal standard that we had, he took us off of it. So now the money was completely free-floating and able to be manipulated by the bankers through the Federal Reserve, which is exactly what's happened. That's why our currency is worth mere pennies over what it was 100 years ago. Pennies. The Founding Fathers, through the Constitution, by the way, we hear people talk about the Constitution, but so few people talk about the part of the Constitution put in there by Roger Sherman, who wrote a little book called Caveat Against Injustice. I read it many years ago when I first woke up. Roger Sherman, A Caveat Against Injustice. In that little booklet, he describes the evils of paper money and why it is essential that your currency be tied to precious metals so that it can be, quote, legal tender or money. It has to be tied to precious metals. That's in your Constitution. So every single government is violating the Constitution as long as the Federal Reserve prints their fiat currency. That is against the Constitution. So ever since 1913, with the Federal Reserve coming on board and then the presidents that took away the tying of our U.S. notes from gold and silver, has been an act of treason against us. And it's been a way for them to abscond with the wealth of the people and stuff it into their banking vaults, unbeknownst to you, because they're doing it through inflation of currency, the value of currency. They manipulate it all the time, to their benefit, by the way. And now it's even got to the point where the government, they call it quantitative easing and all those kind of things, but it's just printing up more digital dollars at a computer terminal. That's all that's required. You don't have to dig any more gold or silver up out of the ground. You don't have to print even dollar bills at the printing press. It's just simply some Jew in the Federal Reserve goes into the basement to the computer terminal and just cranks up more trillions of digital dollars. And they start passing it out to all their banking buddies, and they pass it out to their masters at the top of that pyramid. And now BlackRock and Vanguard and all the rest of them are out there buying up your real estate, your country, your resources, so that soon you will be a serf on the land that your forefathers fought and died to create. You will be a slave upon the land, just like Benjamin Franklin said. If the bankers ever take control, our children will become slaves to these creatures while they laugh and hide in the counting houses, counting up their ill-gotten gain. That's where we are. We're losing our country. Our children are fighting for the few jobs that are out there. Most of the jobs are going to non-whites and women, so that the white male has a difficult time finding a job. Even white females are finding it more and more difficult, but white males, it's been that way. We're being disenfranchised in our own country. It's being taken out right in front of our faces. The rug is being pulled out from underneath us, and we're being disenfranchised, and they're doing it right in front of your face. How much longer the Father is going to let this happen, I don't know. Maybe until we repent. Maybe until our people finally realize that 2 Chronicles 7:14 means what it says. My people suffer from a lack of knowledge, but it also says my people suffer from a lack of vision. We can't even envision what it's like to be truly free and at liberty in our own land anymore. We don't even know what it's like to be in control of our own lands. The Jews have been running the show for so long. Most of the people walking this earth today don't even know what it's like to be in a white nation, run by our own people with laws that protect our people. The white man's nations, the Western countries, have been taken over, and they used greed and the power of the purse to do it. Again, the financial war that's being waged against Christian Israel, the children of Jacob, the Caucasian race. That's about all I have for tonight, folks. Again, I'll make it a short one tonight. If anybody has something they want to report or question to ask or whatever, now would be a good time to call in. Ralph says here, if you ever see coyotes take down a deer or fatally injured by a vehicle, a shot to the spine is way less cruel to any animal made for us to eat. Yeah, to the spine or to the head. A quick shot, and it's a merciful way to end their suffering. And Bob says here he was given a book on how to tan hides, and he's going to try it. Useful skill. Yeah, I know some people that go to these primitive beatings where they still know the old ways of doing things, and that's one of the things that they do. They tan hides the old-fashioned way. They make clothes out of it. They know how to make bows and arrows and spears the old-fashioned way, and other weapons. So there are people out there that are doing that, keeping these old skills alive. I know the Amish do a lot of it, but there's other groups of our people that get together at some of these festivals and gatherings, and they keep the old ways alive. Because really, let's face it, most of the existence of Adam kind on this earth, we did not have modern technology. And yet we're here. So obviously there's ways of preserving food that doesn't require refrigeration. There's ways to make clothes without the big factories. There's ways to make shoes. There's ways to make boots. There's ways to build homes. In fact, homes that are much more ecologically feasible than these structures they're putting up for us now that are full of all kinds of chemicals and dyes, and they're off-gassing from their non-natural fibers and fabrics and the carpet, and you live in a poisonous environment. Poisonous. And they're not very strong. They don't stand up to bad storms. And yet, back in the day, they could build huts and different kind of structures using all natural materials. You didn't have to get permits. You didn't have to have a factory nearby or a delivery truck. And people say, that's too old-fashioned. That's too nasty. Well, there's ways to dress it up a little bit, but do you really need to live in a poisonous cage? Does your gilded cage fit you well as you're imprisoned in it and you're paying property tax and fees and registrations and now HOAs? And is it worth it? You don't own it anyway. They can kick you out of that nice little gilded cage that you're in anytime they want. Anytime you want, anytime they want. So you're not going to get to keep it anyway. Something to think about. At least in the old ways, whatever we built was ours in perpetuity, as the Bible demands. Our land and our homes are to stay in our families forever, because that's where you grow your food and you have your water and you raise your children and you hunt and you fish. And you produce things to barter with your neighbors. Do you see how that works? It's very simple. It doesn't cost money. Yahweh put everything we need right out here in nature. You just forgot the old ways. In fact, I have a digital copy of a book called The Lost Ways. If anybody ever needs it, just let me know. I'll send it to you. If you like it, then I recommend that you buy a hard copy from the authors and keep it on your shelf like I do, just in case the electronics go down. It's good to have hard copies of these different books that talk about doing things the old ways. It wasn't all that long ago. When I was a boy, people still knew a lot of the old ways of doing things. I've often said about the lady that used to babysit my brother, sister, and I, she had a pitcher pump on the sink in the kitchen. That's where the running water for the whole house was, in the kitchen at the pump. You had to hand pump your water up from the well. She had an outhouse for a bathroom. I didn't think anything strange of it. Didn't bother me at all, except in winter. That got a little bit cold, especially if you had to do number two. That was a bit cold, but lived through it. Wasn't that bad. In fact, it was kind of cozy in wintertime. You'd be in there around that pot-bellied stove, and there was a coal fire in there, and you could hear the sparks inside it and feel the warmth off that thing. Everybody gathered around in the living room. Us kids would play by the stove, and Mrs. Ewing would sit there and do her knitting and whatnot. We didn't think we were deprived. We didn't think it was barbaric that she had kerosene lamps and such things and running a pump for water and an outhouse and stuff like that. We didn't think that was deprived. We kind of enjoyed going there, actually. So it wasn't that long ago that we lived closer to nature and on the land. We've been led astray with all the, quote, conveniences that the beast puts out there to buy us off and to get us to acquiesce to his ways and to become perpetual consumers. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had to prime the pump. Ellis says here you had to prime the pump. For people that don't know about a pitcher pump, you can Google it, and I'm sure there's YouTubes out there. I know you can still buy them. I've looked into it. But it's just an old crank pump where there was a big handle off to the side of it, and you pumped up and down to get the water to come up through the pipe from the well into the kitchen. But you had to prime, what they called prime the pump, which is there was a bucket, a galvanized steel bucket of water by there, and you had to pour some of that water down into the pump in order to prime it to get it to work. So the one thing you always did is make sure you refilled that bucket before you stopped pumping. Because if you had nothing to prime the pump, you weren't going to get any water. But again, once you're used to it, it becomes a habit. So Mrs. Ewing always had a good-sized bucket of priming water sitting by the kitchen sink. And she made sure us children, if we started playing around with the pump, that we filled that bucket. So again, just some reminiscing there to remind everybody that getting back closer to nature and giving up some of these modern conveniences with all the strings that are attached to it by the beast system, it's not necessarily a fate worse than death, as some people think. These kids with their cell phones and their computer games and all the traps and entanglements that the beast puts out there, it's not as bad as you think. That's one reason why I think I was born when I was, so that I could grow up in an environment that had almost none of the modern toys that everybody thinks are indispensable. We had none of them when I was a boy. None of them. The most sophisticated thing in our home was a record player for vinyl records, and I think we had a black and white television that was broke most of the time. That's it. Oh, and we had a telephone that was on a party system, and it had a ringer on it. That was it. That's as high-tech as we got. So I don't see anybody has anything here to want to share with us, so give everybody a break tonight. We'll make it a shorty and let everybody enjoy the rest of their evening. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We just pray that everybody would wake up to the lies and deceptions that are going on out there, and all of us would get a stiffer backbone and take a stand against the lies and deceptions, and to take a stand to defend our loved ones and our neighbors against the onslaught of this worldwide diabolical system. We pray for your truth to reach the ears that it's meant to hear, and for those who are on the side of the righteous, that every one of us do a better job of being your ambassadors upon this earth to bring truth and peace and prosperity to all of those who wish to obey you, and will bring destruction on those who will not. As it says in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 27, bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. Those are the words of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Doesn't sound like a pacifist to me, Father. So we just pray for the Obadiah 18 destruction of the wicked. We pray for Malachi chapter 4 to come to pass. Ezekiel 25 verse 14 to come to pass. And that we'd all have the honor of the saints in Psalm 149. To that end, Father, we ask that you be with us and guide us in all that we say and do, and protect us from our enemies. Hallelujah.